And welcome back to Cinema Vino. Then we're going to continue our wedding series tonight, talking about Palm Springs, a movie I enjoyed quite a bit. Came out about 2 years ago. I'm here with Travis Budd.
Hoi.
Bravis Tud. Taylor Owens.
Yo, yo.
Sean Jordan.
Howdy.
We've got the whole crew here. This will be part five of our six-part wedding series.
Part five.
We are drinking Trapiche Cabernet Sauvignon from Argentina.
Trapiche?
Yeah. Nice budget red.
I really like this. You chilled this one. This is tasty.
Yeah. This one clocks in at about $10.
Really?
That's why I like it.
For $10, this is excellent.
Not bad. Maybe 12. And if it's over 10, it's not much over 10.
Are so. Argentinians wines, not people, generally cheaper than other reds?
Pretty affordable, yeah. They tend to be. Argentina. Wait, is
that the one that has Mourvedre? Is those from Argentina?
You'll see those in France? Primarily. Yeah, that's a French.
France.
Is there some other Argentinian?
Malbec.
Yeah. Oh, Malbec. Okay. I knew it started with an M.
Yeah. I'm going to scooch my chair over because I'm a little bit in an awkward position. So you guys talk amongst yourselves for a second. I'm
gonna scooch away.
Go ahead.
So, Argentinian.
What is he doing? Hey, what's up, man?
Oh, hey, guys. Malbec is going to be the primary grape out of Argentina. That's kind of their niche grape because you'll see that Malbec in France is a blending grape. It's a grape that they add into Bordeaux with Cabernet Merlot.
More of a blending grape.
It's a blending grape, as you know the snobs might say. Argentina has kind of made it their own, and they release a lot of standalone Malbecs. In France, there is a region that does Malbecs called Cahors. Sometimes you'll see a little bit of Merlot blended in there, but a lot of times it'll be a Malbec-centric wine.
So, I got those fucked up. So, what is a Mourvedre like?
That's another grape. That's another variety.
A totally different in France.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Not a popular blending.
Yeah, you'll see that blended with Grenache and Syrah a lot. Like in the Rhone region.
On GSM.
There you go.
That's the M.
Grenache, Syrah,
I like a Grenache.
Mm-hmm.
Grenache.
Yeah. You'll see Mourvedre blended in there, kind of round them out, kind of sand them off a little bit if they get a little bit too big and bold. So Mourvedre is a good grape to kind of round off other grapes.
So this is an Argentinian cab sac?
Cabernet. I opted not to do a Malbec from Argentina just because Malbec, I love Malbec, but it is a different animal. Some people might not, in a wedding reception, some people might not enjoy a Malbec. They can be pretty, like, earthy, deep purple, inky, full-bodied. And when I say inky, like, they can be, they have a deep purple texture to them. They're very dark.
Yeah.
They can be almost kind of like...
divisive?
Yes. They can almost have that kind of soil, mushroomy, like, again, earthy texture to them. Like wet soil. Some people might not enjoy that. So they're... They're not so much an acquired taste, but they're not something you want to jump right into if you're not really into red wines.
Yeah, I would wreck this wine at a wedding.
Yeah, this is a Cabernet.
Yeah.
A little more, I think, palate friendly, a little more crowd friendly. A lot of people will do Merlots because Merlots can be a little bit softer.
A little bit softer now.
A little bit softer now.
Which is probably the most common wedding reception song ever.
Oh, God, yeah.
Shout. You hear that at every reception.
Throw your hands up.
Wait a minute.
Is it even a wedding reception if they don't play Shout?
That is true.
Or Gold Digger.
Or YMCA.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just associate that song with Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. But yeah, this is a good, easy $10, $12 wine. It's like the other stuff we've had, the Gerard Bertrand Brut Rosé and the Gravière Bordeaux Blanc. All affordable, all good. If you're looking to give wine to a lot of people,
I could do like 60 bottles of this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe only $12, but it tastes like 16.
Yeah, exactly. That's your advertisement right there.
It's $4.
Yeah.
Where do they get that?
Actually, this is really good. I'm enjoying this.
So yeah, Trapiche. Trapiche.
Trapiche.
Cabernet Sauvignon from Argentina.
You going to take a picture of this label and share it on our Palm Springs Instagram?
It will be, yeah. It will be shared.
Wasn't Dick Grayson a trapiche artist?
Yes. Trappist monk?
Touche.
The Flying Graysons?
That'll be Cinema Vino Podcast on Instagram for those who haven't followed us yet, go ahead and get on over there and follow us. ToddWoffordMovies.com.
Oh, yeah. We've started doing voting stories and things and other social media items active. That I've voted on.
For my best friend's wedding, Dermot Mulroney was the winner of the sweepstakes versus Dylan McDermott.
Or Dermot Mulroney.
Same person.
Either
way. Yeah.
Whatever you want to call him.
Palm Springs.
It's Palm Springs. So, my notes real quick. It is a, and this is going to be a mouthful, fantasy sci-fi rom-com. It kind of covers several genres blended into one seamless whole. It was released on Hulu July 10th, 2020, at the peak of the pandemic. They released this in a few theaters, but theaters weren't really doing a whole lot of business then. So the primary arena for this was Hulu. It was released to almost universal acclaim via critics and audiences. It's nominated for Golden Globes for Best Picture and Best Actor for Andy Samberg. Real quick synopsis. Film takes place on November 9th, Palm Springs, California. Sarah, who is played by Kristen Milioti, meets Niles, and it took me rewatching it. I felt stupid rewatching it, realizing Niles is short for nihilism. I did not realize that at first because I'm not very bright.
Huh.
Dang it. Yeah. So,
well,
so,
now you make us feel stupid because none of us got that.
And well, I know. I wondered, did quick, other people see this?
I mean, I know, but for Taylor, what does nihilism mean?
Anybody who's seen Lebowski can sum it up in one sentence. I believe it's Flea who says it, of like, yeah, we believe in nothing.
You can't trust nihilists. Yeah. They don't believe in anything.
Taylor, it means they don't believe in anything.
Yeah. Thank you.
Which we got a heavy dose of in Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, the contrast of nihilism and existentialism. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. This one is pretty much just a heavy, deep dive into nihilism.
And I know what existentialism is, but Sean, if you could explain it to Todd for me.
I cannot.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't watch the movie.
There you go.
So, I mean, is it that come out recently? Existentialism? That recently come out? I missed it.
Existentialism is a pretty new train of thought.
So, okay. Mm-hmm. Something else recently came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Travis just farted, and I think I'm going to have to...
Well, it's even better is that, like, it might not have been Travis, but we don't know. We're going to have to go back.
I mean, I'll claim it.
We'll have to pull that out of the podcast and see if our listeners can figure out which one had dealt it.
That's actually, whole point of nihilism. No, it doesn't matter who smelt it nor dealt it.
Yeah. Look, it's just the fact that it was dealt.
It's going to be on our Instagram stories. Like, you make the call. Who dealt it?
And I know that's a call you guys are dying to make out there.
Who dealt it?
Yeah.
Palm Springs.
So, Niles. So, Sarah meets Niles at her sister's wedding reception. They hit it off immediately, mainly because of his, like, don't give a shit attitude that he exudes at the reception. It was kind of vibes up with her, like, attitude of being pretty much over everything that's going on. So, they kind of hit it off and head off for some nookie in the desert. And he gets attacked by a stranger out of nowhere in the night. Played by J.K. Simmons.
God, I love J.K. Simmons.
That was perfect, yeah.
Yes, and so he, Niles is wounded and kind of stumbles off to a cave with her running frantically behind him. He gets, like, into the cave, gets sucked off into some, you know...
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He gets shunted.
He gets, yes.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, okay, what's a better way? He goes to another dimension.
He gets vortexed into a hole.
No, I'm going to put it the way I did before. He gets sucked off to another dimension. We're going to leave it like that.
Good for him.
Just say he gets sucked off in a cave.
I'm going to leave it just the way it was. I'm happy with that.
Phrasing.
And so he vanishes. She follows him. She vanishes. They both wake up.
Would have been a better movie.
They wake up November 9th, morning, Groundhog Day style, rebooting everything. They start all over again. And now she comes to realize that he has been there for years, possibly centuries, repeating this day over and over again.
Just one of my favorite lines in this movie where he's just like, yeah, it's one of those time loops you might have heard of.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of those time loops I might have heard of? What?
Yeah. And so she realizes now she is cursed to repeat this day along with him and along with J.K. Simmons' character who is hunting Andy Samberg.
Occasionally.
He occasionally gets a wild hair and goes predator style hunting Andy Samberg through Palm Springs and captures him, tortures him, kills him. They're, you know, live, die, and repeat. And so they basically get to know each other. They bond, probably again over years and years, maybe decades. And she has to contend with his extreme nihilism, but she comes to like him. And it's a matter of, can she tear down his armor that is his nihilism? And possibly in the end, can she figure out a way to get them out of the loop? You know, can they have a love affair in this repeating day over and over again? You know, and does anything mean anything? You know, it's like it definitely asks bigger questions. And it's, you know, does anything mean anything? You know, does our need for companionship define us? Does our mortality define us? Does anything mean anything if we don't die?
If you can't die, and every time you die or, you know, fall asleep, you wake up the next day perfectly fine, and there are no consequences for your actions ultimately, what's the point of living? And how do you live your life if there's no reason to continue to do it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they answered that question in Groundhog Day when Bill Murray said, I can eat anything I want and I don't gain any weight.
Yeah.
I mean, you eat as many calories a day as you can. Or in Andy Samberg's case, and again, my favorite line in the movie is he put his penis in my butt. He's actually a really nice guy.
Yeah. Well, and that's a great thing because the guy does. He's like, oh, hey, there you are.
Yeah. I'm glad I did it, you know?
No. And so, yeah, I mean, I have the film was genuinely funny. It gets real laughs. It's a quirky original story. It doesn't just repeat Groundhog Day, even though it follows the same basic ideas and template. So I love this movie. For me, it is a 9 out of 10.
Oh, really?
I really like
strong.
This movie.
Yeah.
I really enjoy this movie. And maybe it was just like watching it in the depths of the pandemic. It was a
cleanser, like something joyful.
Well, while we're all steeped in nihilism during the pandemic, this is like, thank you, Andy Samberg. I feel that way too.
And maybe it was like the whole package of like watching it during a period when I remember like I was like, you know, locked in the house with our son. And I was like watching it like, I remember I watched it during one of his naps and it was like, you know, wide open spaces of the movie. It's like, this looks so appealing. Like it's outside.
You enjoyed the cinematography?
Yes. Good weather. Really? I mean, it's like, this makes me want to be outside. It's like, it makes me feel like I am outside.
Well, Palm Springs is kind of like the desert California.
It is. It?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's like sagebrush, you know, it's like, you know, Westerns kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it hit me in the right mood at the time I watched it. I really enjoyed it. I got a lot out of it. So, but I'm curious to hear what you think. Sean, we'll start with you.
I also loved this movie. I loved it when I first saw it in 2020. I think I watched it just like pretty much as soon as it came out and immediately fell in love with it. Again, I probably think it's right up there. I'd probably give it an 8.5, 8 out of 10. It's just there's something gratifying to see how someone would live their life if there's no consequences, if you just like... You could do whatever you want. You know what's going to happen. And it doesn't focus on the, like, you know, the Groundhog Day aspect of it. It focuses on, like, I'm just going to continue living my best life and having fun. And now that I have someone who I can enjoy this time with, you know, seeing how they use that time together, how they do goofy shit, you know, and both actors are really funny characters. Yeah. Like, they're very good actors.
Yeah.
You know, and they play their characters really well. Just seeing like, you know, they are at a wedding, but at the same time, like they can, or they choose whether or not to interact with that and then choose whether or not to like be a part of the wedding aspect of it. His girlfriend who's cheating on him or will eventually cheat on him during the day. Like, I love seeing his interactions with her where she's just like, what?
No, you're cheating on me.
Yeah.
Are you cheating on me? No, you're cheating on me, goof.
Yeah. Say something in Australian.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, it's awesome.
They just do such a good job of using the recurring bits and continuing to build off of it.
Yeah.
That they build this like small little world that just, you know, continues to grow and grow and, you know, talking about all of his different like escape attempts. He's like, yeah, you know, I took methamphetamines and I got as far as, you know, like somewhere in South America or something.
No.
But
Ecuador or the equator or something like that. Yeah.
Equatorian New Guinea or Equatorian Guinea. Yeah. Just Tremendous. I love this movie.
I even like the little touch. And now, as my child's gotten older and older, like the scene of the kid watering dog shit, you know, out in the yard. You know, it's like, you know, I've seen...
J.K. Simmons.
I've seen our two-year-old dip a bowl of Goldfish crackers in a pool of water, like a swimming pool, take it out wet like cereal and eat wet Goldfish crackers.
Well, they are fish, Todd.
Yeah, they are. They are now, for
sure.
They
need to swim.
Yeah. Look, every child needs to ingest a certain amount of chlorine. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Early like, on. Yeah.
Just, I think that's a saltwater pool, isn't it?
It is a saltwater pool, yeah. Well,
okay, so, you know, it's safer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just seasoning the fish.
Every little kid needs some sodium.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you need more sodium. More salt, the better. Mm-hmm. And earlier, the better, too.
Yeah.
They're going to learn eventually.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you gotta dry yourself out.
Yes.
Exactly.
No, but I loved this movie. I thought every aspect of it is just enjoyable. It's like, it's an hour and a half.
Yes.
And that is, I love an hour and a half movie anymore. Like,
oh, totally.
Great movies. I can steep myself in like a 2 hour movie, a 2.5 hour movie, 3 hour movie if I'm like really dedicated to it. But like these days, it's abused.
Yeah. I suffered.
Give me back to an hour and a half.
Oh my God. The Secrets of Dumbledore. Just watch that.
Jesus Christ.
I've thought about it, but I don't know if I can. Like,
have not pulled the trigger.
2.5 hours long.
Oy, oy, oy.
It's like, merde.
That's too many secrets.
Yeah.
That's
it needs more depth.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm. Although Mads Mikkelsen makes a pretty good villain.
He does.
Yeah.
Sick fuck.
Yeah, he's a great actor. He's I would argue he's more perfect for that role than Depp was. You know, he just fits that part.
Shut your hole.
But I mean, I like seeing the character development of Andy Samberg's character, where he like eventually goes to J.K. Simmons' house, you know, has the interaction with him. Yeah.
What are you doing here?
And he just puts him in the trash can and shoots him in the head.
Like, all right, it's out of the house.
Yeah.
No.
Also, yeah, J.K. Simmons, like, whatever he was making, it looked good as shit.
It looked delicious.
Can I please stay for dinner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Well, and you guys stuck around for the stinger at the end of the credits, right? Or the mid-credits scene?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Where basically J.K. Simmons comes back to the wedding and he's just like, Niles, I got the message from your girlfriend. Is it really work? And it's Niles in a tuxedo. And he's like, I have no idea who you are. And it's basically proving that like Niles gets out and that because at the end of the movie, if you just watch it to where it like ends, you think J.K. Simmons just like never finds out. And he's just continuing to live in a loop. No, he gets a message from, you know, Christine Milotti. Yeah. And finds out how to get out.
Huh.
So, yeah.
That's sweet.
That's a nice little
movie. Pretty cute.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's sweet.
Perky.
Travi, what'd you think?
All right. So I would give this a 7 just because Groundhog Day for me is this movie, but better. Like, I appreciate it all. Like, I love every movie that is a weird little loop. There's the, the death saves or something. There have been.
Oh, Live, Die, Repeat?
No, well, that one as well. But there's like one where like a weird mascot is killing some sorority girl, and I cannot for the life of me remember the name of the film. Happy Death Day, that's it. And there's a sequel to that too that like wraps it all up. And I'm like, oh shit, this is really good. This is like a really good two-parter. But I love all of these weird time loop movies, also that Live, Die, Repeat. But yeah, this one was also great. The cinematographer for this one is Quyen Q Tran, who has done several different films. I can't remember the other one. Shit is not on my tongue right now. But her husband also plays D&D for Critical Role, and that's how I knew her name. I'm like, oh fuck yes! Like I had heard about her through Critical Role, and she's very good at her job. So that was her cinematography that you enjoyed so much, Waffle.
Yeah.
In this. And then, let's see. Yeah, J.K. Simmons is always a fucking delight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Every time.
His beard, like, looks so comfy. I just want to crawl in there and, like, take a nap.
I just love it when they start doing drugs together at the reception.
Yeah.
They're head-to-head in the bathroom. Like, you're alive.
It's awesome.
Alive. Yeah. And oh God, I can never remember this guy's name. Old Eyebrows. He was the father at the wedding.
Oh yeah. damn it.
He was in The OC. He was Sandy Cohen.
Gallagher?
Yeah, that's right. Gallagher. Yeah,
he was in Sleepless in Seattle. Mm-hmm. He was the guy in the coma the whole time.
While you were sleeping.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. While you're sleeping,
we need to look him up really quick. Like something.
Peter Gallagher.
Peter Gallagher.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if those eyebrows were made of cake, how many bites would that be?
four cake eyebrows.
That's
four.
I could do that in two bites.
Two is the correct answer.
Like two little Snickers. Yeah. Peter, baby size. Peter Gallagher.
Yeah.
Peter.
Excellent. Yeah. So I enjoyed this, and then also, the groom in the wedding is Tyler Hoechlin, whatever. He's playing Superman now on the CW and the whatever.
Tyler Hoechlin.
Hoechlin. Yeah, there you go. What do you give it? Like, what do you give Groundhog Day if this is a 9?
Groundhog Day might be a 10.
Really?
That might be a perfect 10.
Yeah. Nice.
That's a perfect movie.
All right. That makes sense to me because I enjoyed this, but I was like, there's no way this is better than Groundhog Day.
I mean, this almost feels like a cousin to Groundhog Day. Yeah, I mean, it feels very similar. I mean, it definitely hits a lot of the same humor, but it also feels like almost edgier Groundhog Day, like a younger, edgier, more philosophical.
It feels modernized.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, there always felt like to me that there, like in Groundhog Day, that there was more they could explore.
Yeah,
like you were only given this small batch, and actually, I would love it if we did Happy Death Day and its sequel one time because they're both. I don't know. I just love all the weird time loop movies. They're just always very
logical sequels to Groundhog Day.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Supposedly, Groundhog Day, there was a real battle on set between Harold Ramis and Bill Murray. Bill Murray wanted the darker, more philosophical Groundhog Day. Harold Ramis wanted a brighter comedy. So. That actually led to a falling out between them.
Because, you can get real dark with it if you're living in this timeline. And I think this movie kind of plays with that.
Yeah.
I think it plays with that, gets to the edge and kind of backs off.
Yeah. In some ways, this is more the movie Bill Murray wanted.
Like, they straight up, kill J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one last question before, I started talking and we skipped you, but...
Oh, I don't care.
The brachiosaurs. What the fuck? Dinosaurs.
Apparently those are a tourist feature. Like they have actual dinosaur sculptures.
Yeah.
Out in the Palm Springs area.
That was when they were doing mushrooms, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, at the end and the credits, you see them again and they're walking towards the weird cave.
Yeah.
Well, the
whatever.
I think the movie's having a little fun. With
it makes you think.
It makes you think.
The get bread, get head cave? Or
Scully cave.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cave.
Scully cave.
Skull Island.
Skull Island.
Ooh.
Sucked out.
So, Taylor, what'd you think of this movie?
This movie was dog shit, y'all.
Fuck.
No, I'm kidding. No, I liked it. I did not love it.
This was your first time seeing it.
Was. Yeah. I remember seeing the trailer for it and then just kind of zoned out. Never saw it in 2020. So my first time seeing it, it was actually yesterday. And I liked it. It was very, and honestly, going into it, not knowing what it was. I read the little blurb, but it's like, okay, so it's a repeating whatever. But I didn't really know how similar it was going to be to Groundhog Day to me. But it was very funny. I liked it a lot. I can't say I loved it because I love Groundhog Day. No. But I was like, man, I liked it a lot. And it was very, and again, the time, hour and a half, thank freaking God.
Yeah.
And it was like, and the comic relief, the perfect timing. I didn't know it until you said it, but Sandberg, it's like, at first I was like, God, I've never been a huge, I think he's fucking hilarious in Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
But I've never liked any of his movies. And I know this might be blasphemy, but what's the TV show,
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah. I've never gotten into that show either.
I never watched it.
I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, and it's like, and I don't know, for some reason, I just can't get behind him a lot. Like
you would.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Yeah.
But he does kill this movie. I like it a lot.
Is Andy Samberg Canadian?
Sounds Canadian.
I don't think so, but we need to verify that.
Yeah, sounds Canadian.
I don't think he is, but yeah, we can definitely
probably that. Oot and a boot.
Yeah.
but yeah, I'd give it 7. I mean, just when Travis sounds like that's exactly what I was going to give it. It was like, because it.
Born in California.
Okay.
Is that one of the provinces of Canada?
yeah. Berkeley, Ontario.
Yeah.
And actually, like, I mean, I do like that it's only an hour and a half long, but I feel like I don't remember how long Groundhog Day was, but this movie, I do like the repetition of Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Because you see, like, when he's trying to pick up Annie McDowell and, like, oh, I like the vermouth with the twist or whatever.
Yeah.
Groundhog Day was an hour 41.
Hour 41.
A little bit longer.
Okay.
We needed those 11 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But every scene, it resets, and all the actors all say their same exact lines.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know, it's some of that repetition.
Yeah, there's a lot of repetition really with extras in Groundhog Day, whereas Palm Springs does a lot of, like, fucking with the main characters and seeing, like, the storyline change and how, like, one change at the beginning will change stuff at the end.
Yeah.
And I get that. They may be like, okay, these people have already seen Groundhog Day. We've seen the repetition, and we're like, we know the rules. Like,
and this so is,
he says the you know, referential, like, oh, one of those classic time loops, like you've seen. And we're like, okay.
Like you've seen.
As you do.
It's, you know, catching you up on the rules. Like, all right, we've all seen it. We get it. This is, you know, how we're going to stretch and expand that concept.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that, but I like Groundhog Day for some of the weird repetition and the different delivery of line, you know, that it just helps to its authenticity of being stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like the, they changed it up a little bit. It made it more believable why she wanted to be out of that loop, you know, because when she wakes up in the morning, what she's done. So I was like, okay. I
constant reminded of betraying her sister.
Yeah. And so I was like, I mean, I thought, man, that to me, that was good. I was like, okay. Cause I was like, we're, you know, as you go on the film, I'm like, okay, I get what's going on. We're going to drag this out. But it was like, but what are we getting at? And I thought, okay, this is starting to make a little bit more sense. So, but yeah, I mean, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Like, if you were stuck in this loop and you had the option of just chilling all day in the pool and, like, drinking a whole bunch of beer and then going out that night to a party where there's going to be birthday cake and, like, a free bar.
Yeah.
Like, would you, I mean, I guess eventually you would get bored, but I would
get bored with it. How many weeks do you think it would take for you to get bored of that?
Like, she went to a diner and then busted out the old laptop, but, like, I guess you go to the library too. And I don't know.
Well, I've read, like, people speculate how long Bill Murray was in Groundhog Day, like how long he was in that day. And I've heard, like, centuries, possibly hundreds of years. So
he learned piano,
ice sculptures,
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never really saw that with this movie. Like, they never really, like, perfected a craft or, like,
no, said it was his 1 millionth birthday. Like, I'm sure it's a joke.
Yeah. I mean, I think this one did attack more of the philosophical side of it than Groundhog Day did. Like you said, it was a little bit more lighthearted in Groundhog Day, whereas this was more like, what does it mean if you experience the same day over and over again? Like, what is
truly,
what does it mean to be a human in a life where there are no consequences and there are just constant repetitive cycles over and over again?
Yeah.
Like, I get that, but also, was it an all-inclusive resort? Like, was there an omelet bar? Because I think you could wake up every morning and have, like,
the breakfast set up every morning where he was just making, like, daiquiris or, like, margaritas in the communal kitchen that they had. That communal kitchen looked bomb.
Yeah, but, like, I'm just saying the amount of time I would spend in this, you know, weird time loop, the answer would change if we had, like, an omelet bar and if there were, like, donut. Like, I would want to try every combination.
Every omelet combination.
I would I get some pineapple juice, maybe some tequila?
Let me try, like, mushroom, Swiss, spinach, no jalapenos. Yeah.
See if I could get myself behind there. Like, I want to learn to make the perfect omelet.
Yeah.
Learning to make an omelet's important.
Very true.
Anyway, this is a good movie.
Yeah. So you're 7.
Yep.
You're 7.
7.
Yep.
8, 8.5. I mean, and my metric, you know, my criteria that I've always brought up is, like, does this movie make you feel things? You know, that's the big difference between a 9 and a 10. I think this movie makes you feel things, and I think that's why it's an 8 over a 7.
Yeah.
And what is your Groundhog Day rating? Just
I think Groundhog Day is like, it's a 9.
Okay.
I'm not going to say a 10, so but it's a 9.
You
it's
would
up
also
there.
Rank it above this.
I think so, yeah.
It's hard to beat.
I need that on record.
It's hard to beat.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's been another episode of Cinema Vino.
Yippee.
Yeah. And, join us next time. We will be doing Princess Bride for our big finale, for our last wedding movie. Classic 80s staple. Mm. So, yeah, we got Sean Jordan,
Taylor Blade,
Yo-Yo,
Bravis Dud.
Too Blave.
Not too Blave to apologize.
We haven't said it in a while. Not with a bang, but with a whimper.
Mm.
Or not with a whimper, but with a bigger whimper.
What a whimper.
No. But thank you guys so much, and we will see you all next time.
Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these films can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com.